So our topic today is a servant's heart. And as I was praying about this and God led me to this scripture, this is how he gave me a beginning. So take it as you may. Wash someone's feet? Jesus, are you serious? Have you seen those dogs? The British would say, have you seen those plates of meat? Those kickers look like they've had a rough life and you want me to wash those feet? Really, Lord? They look like hoofs and smell like cheese. And you really want me to wash those feet? They have toe jam and not from their socks. They've been walking on the dusty road, stepped into a few mud puddles along the way, and you want me to wash those feet. I have a sister who, when she was growing up, was a tomboy. And one of the things that she did was she ran around outside without shoes. So when you look at her feet, they look a little rough. We had a sister's day out, and we got pedicures. And as we were sitting there, she noticed that her technician had on gloves and mine didn't. And this was way before COVID. But we were able to laugh because we knew that she had rough-looking feet from what she had put them through so many years ago. Washing feet can be comical. However, there are religions and denominations that practice this ritual on a routine basis. Servant in biblical times was one who voluntarily served others. A slave was one taken against their will and forced to serve others. Heart, the biblical definition, is considered the seat of life or strength. In the natural, it pumps blood through our bodies and gives us life. But biblically, it is mind, soul, spirit, or one's entire emotional nature and understanding. The Hebrew definition is where you make your choices motivated by your desires. Prior to this scene, Jesus had entered Jerusalem on Sunday. On Monday, he had cleaned out the temple. On Tuesday, he dealt with the religious leaders trying to trip him up so that they could arrest him. I'm not sure what happened on Wednesday, but maybe he rested. But on Thursday, we find Jesus in this scene in John chapter 13. The scene takes place in the upper room before the Passover. The scripture tells us that Jesus knew his hour had come to leave this world and go back to his Father. He gathers his boys, his ride or die crew, his confidants, his friends, his disciples, his chosen ones for a meal, knowing that the devil had already entered Judas to betray him. Jesus knew the Father had given him authority over everything and that he had come from God and that he would return to God. I don't know about you, but I don't think I would have been able to serve my brothers and sisters knowing what was getting ready to happen. Jesus gets up from the table. He lays aside his garment. He wrapped a towel around his waist and he poured water into a tin. His actions were symbolic of him saying, I lay down my life and I take it up again. In the words of Gomer Pyle, surprise, surprise, surprise. He began to wash the disciples' feet and he dried them with the towel. No one said anything except who? Peter. I think a lot of us have a little bit of Peter in us. Some of us really are the ride or die kind of friend. Some of us will deny knowing you and repent later. Some will cut you for someone, whether literally or with words or looks. Some of us are willing to help those in need. Some are loyal to the end. In this story, which Peter do we see? Is he the prideful or humble Peter? This Peter, knowing who Jesus was, would not allow him to take the role of a servant and wash his feet. Peter knew better than anyone in that room that he didn't deserve to have Jesus to serve him. But the light bulb went off for Peter after Jesus explained, "Unless I wash you, you don't belong to me." And Peter said, "Then wash my hands and my head as well. Lord, not just my feet." Jesus reveals that one of them was dirty and that he would betray him. There was an enemy in the camp, but Jesus still had a servant's heart. Jesus continues to love in spite of. There is a lesson in serving others behind this gesture. The first lesson we can find in verse 12 and 13. A servant's heart is humble. So after he had washed their feet and he had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, "Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me master and Lord, and ye say, well, for I am." So a servant's heart is humble. He finished washing their feet, and he put on his robe, and he asked them a question. "Do you understand what I have done to you?" And there was no answer recorded from anyone. Perhaps they were still in awe that the teacher had just humbled himself and served them. Or maybe he put the question out there to grab their attention to what he would say next. Jesus had completed his servant role. Now it was time for him to step back into his role as Lord and Master. As the disciples of Jesus, they had learned from him and they had obeyed him. So he sits down at the dinner table and he teaches them some more. He had taught them many things prior to this lesson. He taught them about planting in different types of soil. He taught them about spiritual food and holy water. When he healed the government official's son, he taught them that his words had power. After he healed the lame man, he taught them that he had authority to forgive sin. He taught them that his Father was always at work in him. He taught them to forgive, to love God and love others, and to love their enemies. He taught them that those who listen to this message and believe in God who sent him would have eternal life. This time, he teaches them to serve one another. Matthew 20, 28 tells us that the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right because that's what I am. Jesus was not concerned with his position at the moment. He wanted to show his disciples the importance of serving others. It was important that as their leader, as their teacher and Lord, he served them so that they would serve others. By his actions, Jesus showed them the model of a servant's heart. He told them that they should serve one another. Following the example of Jesus will cause us to serve others with humility. In the church, in our homes, on our jobs, and other places when given the opportunity. He wants us to love him and to love others. In Matthew 22, we're told to love the Lord your God with all of your heart. That's your passion, feelings, or thoughts. With all of your soul and with all of your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. The second is love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on the two commandments. Humility is not low self-esteem or a lack of confidence. Humility is an attitude of spiritual modesty that comes from understanding who we are and who we belong to. C.S. Lewis said, "Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less." Our second lesson can be found in verse 14 and 15. Jesus is our example. If I, your teacher and Lord, I have washed your feet. You should wash each other's feet also. I have done this to show you what should be done. You should do as I have done also. Jesus is our example. If we look past the act of washing feet and look deeper into the meaning of what Jesus did, he did this as an example of loving service. In Luke 22 and 27, Jesus said, "Who is more important, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves?" The one who sits at the table, of course, but not here. For I am among you as one who serves. Jesus was and is the ultimate example of a servant's heart. He served others by feeding the hungry, healing the sick, opening blinded eyes, raising the dead, turning water into wine, talking to those considered dogs, and he hung out with sinners. How are we following his example? The disciples were believers, and he served them. How are you following the example of Jesus and serving fellow believers in the church? Jesus went out among the crowds to serve the people. How are you serving your community? In Matthew 25, when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came and visited me. The word tells us that whatever we do for one of the least of our brothers and sisters, we are doing it unto God. When you look in the mirror, what do you see? Do you see someone with a humble spirit following the example Jesus left for us? Do you see someone willing to help the elderly? Are you willing to give those who are hungry and homeless some food or shelter? There are many organizations that legitimately help the homeless. Do you volunteer your time or do you give of your finances? Our young people, they need someone to stand in the gap for them. Are you willing to help them or are we hindering them? Some of us have elderly parents or others that need help. Are we following the example of Jesus and helping them with a servant's heart? Jesus did what he did to get the gospel message out. We must examine our motives. A servant's heart must be pure and have compassion for others. We are to serve our brothers and sisters even when things get dirty. We are needed the most when they are hurting and suffering. As their Lord and teacher, he had the right to command their service, but he served them instead. He didn't just teach them humility and service, but as an example, he showed them. In Philippians 2, 5 through 11, it reads, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father." Jesus knew that in some instances what he did had a greater impact than what he would say. So it is with us today. Our actions speak louder than our words. Will you be like Jesus and be an example for others? Our last lesson, verse 16 and 17. servants are happy. For sure, I tell you, a workman who is owned by someone is not greater than his owner. One who is sent is not greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you will be happy if you do them. So it's not just enough to know them, you got to do them. Servants are happy. The servant is not greater than his master, and the master is not greater than the servant. They're on the same level. As Savior, he did not think it was beneath him to serve, so they should serve others. A lot of times we push people down instead of giving them a hand and lifting them up. I'm sure a lot of us have worked for people who look down on their staff because of their position. Jesus is putting us all on level ground. We must respect the position of our superiors. However, Jesus is saying we are equal. When I worked at DHHS, my office was in the Dorothea Dix Hospital. We had a file room called the dungeon, and one of the supervisors said that they would not be going down there. And my reply was, we should not expect our staff to do anything that we're not willing to do. On another occasion, I was helping a section out by scanning some documents, and another staff member told me I should have one of the technicians to do that so that I could do something at my level. Again, my response was, we shouldn't ask our staff to do anything that we are not willing to do. We have leadership for a reason. However, to be a good leader, you must be able to relate to your staff and get to know them, and they need to get to know you. Jesus knows you. Do you know him? There are times that as leaders, we serve our staff to show them that we appreciate them. Leadership is making others better because of your presence and having an impact that will last in your absence. That's what Jesus did. Happiness is an emotional state characterized by feeling, joy, satisfaction, contentment, and fulfillment. If you know these things, what things? Not washing the feet, but serving others, those in need. If you know these things, you will be happy, not just knowing them, but by doing them. When we know God's will and we do it, we will be happy. The blessing or happiness comes not from hearing the word, but from doing what the word tells us to do. This happiness will last forever. When we spend time with God, we get to know the will and the mind of God. We will do what he wills, and we will be happy and blessed. Eventually, we will hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. There's an African proverb that says, the chief is servant of all. When you have a servant's heart, you serve as serving God and not people. My last example is my dad is a diabetic. He had a wound on one of his feet. My bonus mom would wash his feet and treat the wound and lotion his feet and legs. And she helped to restore his foot and didn't ask for anything in return. As a servant's heart, is your heart humble? Jesus is our example. Servants are happy. Jesus knew who he was. He knew where he came from. He knew what he had, and he knew where he was going. Do you know where you are going? This place called Earth is temporary. Do you have a servant's heart? Is Jesus your example? Are you humble? Are you happy? Are you really happy?
We know that you have been blessed through the hearing of God's word on this day. We invite you to join us at New Providence Missionary Baptist Church, located at 4813 Hilltop Needmore Road, Fuquay-Varina, North Carolina. For more information, you can contact our ministry at 919-552-3531 or visit our website at www.newprovidencebaptist.com. Thank you for joining us, and be blessed.